Good afternoon. I welcome you with all my heart. It is good to be with you once again on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Many of us have the erroneous belief that if we get in a path sort of like this, as Advaita Vedanta, we will become self-realized overnight. And as the days pass, as the weeks pass, as the months pass, we become sort of delusioned, disillusioned. We tend to give up, thinking, what's the use? I'll have to go through another million lives before I become self-realized. This is a wrong concept. Of course, most of us understand that we are already liberated. We are already self-realized. And what we're trying to do is simply to let go of all of the concepts, the preconceived ideas, the habit patterns, the karmas, the samskaras. We have to let go of these things, and so-called self-realization will shine all by itself. In other words, there's really nothing we have to do except to quiet the mind. Do not allow your mind to tell you anything, good or bad. Yet as we're doing these things, wonderful things do ensue on the path. We find that we become more peaceful. Fear leaves us. The world doesn't frighten us any longer. People have no hold on us. We attain a certain amount of freedom, even while we're practicing the non-duality. And this is what you should see in yourself. You should ask yourself, do the things that really used to bother me previously still bother me? Do I still get angry as I used to do? Do I lose my temper? Become obnoxious? If you see that you're making improvements, you're doing the right things. Forget about self-realization. Forget about becoming free, liberated. This is a fairy tale. There never was anybody who had to become liberated. When we speak of words like liberation, pure awareness, the self, this is really the natural state. This is your swarupa, your reality. This is what you are and what you've always been and what you will always be. And no one can ever change this. It is the superimpositions, the images of the world, the universe, and your body that you have to deal with. It is up to you to rid yourself of all these attachments to stop being irritable, to stop crying in your beer or in your milk, whatever you drink, and stop feeling sorry for yourself. Understand once and for all that you are in your right place, right now, right this moment. You are where you belong, right this second. You are where you are supposed to be, and there's absolutely nothing wrong anywhere. This sounds strange to some of you. Finally, you can give me an entire litany of problems, things that disturb you, things that are wrong in your life. But are these things really wrong in your life? Or is it you, your ego, who thinks you should be living a certain way with certain people in a certain country, having certain possessions? It is always you. It is true, when we look at this world and we observe man's inhumanity to man, we become sort of disappointed, discouraged. We say, what is happening to this world? What can I do to help change it? The only thing that you can really do to change this world is to understand the truth about yourself. This again is why people think that this path, the Anamarga, is sort of selfish. I've heard people say those people think only of themselves. They only care about their own self-realization. They're not interested in the world, what's going on with people. Of course, this is not true. For if you understand the self, the self is the self of all. The whole universe is the self. So certainly you don't want to see things in the universe that are dastardly, horrible. Yet as long as you're working from your ego, from your mind, you will see such horrible things. But the secret is to realize who sees this. This is the great secret. Who observes these things? Who sees these things that are so wrong and so dastardly? It is the ego, the mind, that has been trained and brainwashed since you were a little person, from previous lives, and you are a conglomeration of all your thoughts, beliefs, dogmas, samskaras. That's all you are, and nothing else. The idea is to let go of all of these things, to become non-judgmental. To develop loving kindness. To look at everyone as yourself. Always remember there's one self, and you are that self. In other words, it's not me and you, or you and the world. Peace comes when you realize that you are everything. Everything is you. When there's no longer any separation, you will feel peaceful. You will feel at ease. But as long as you believe you're separate, troubles and so on. For when you feel you're separate, you believe somebody has power over you, someone can hurt you or do something to you, someone can cheat you, take away your possessions, do something to you. But when you realize the truth about yourself, when you realize that whatever you do to someone else, you're doing to yourself, how can you possibly hurt anyone? When you realize you are they. When you help the homeless, you're helping yourself. When you help anyone in strife, distress, you're helping yourself. Whatever you give to anybody else, you're only giving it to yourself. This is a hard lesson for most of us to learn, because we feel separate. When you see a homeless person in the street, most of you think, poor guy, I'm glad I'm not like that. I'm glad I have this nice car to drive, and a home to live in, and food to eat. I feel sorry for the person, but I'm glad I'm not that person. And truth is, you are that person. That person is you. All this is going on within you. And your beliefs, your thoughts, simply are about yourself. Everything that you think about others is about yourself. For there's only the one self. And we are all that self. So the beginning of wisdom is when you stop seeing the world as separate from yourself. When you begin seeing yourself as all, as everything, then you will inquire, then to whom do these things come? In other words, then who is saying these things? Who's feeling these things? And one day you will realize it's the I. I feel these things. I see these things. I feel hurt. I feel confused. I feel upset. But what is this I? And where did it come from? You will begin to understand only by getting rid of this I, we will become free. It is the I that has given you all this trouble all these years. Not the conditions that you behold. Not other people. Not other places and persons and things. It is the I that has caused you all the problems in your life. You say, I see this. I do not like this. I hate this. But I like this. Notice it's always the I. It is always the I that is interfering with you. If there were no I, would you be able to say these things? There would be no one to say, I like this or I hate this. The only reason you're able to make these remarks is because you use the pronoun I. But if the I disappeared from your life, what would you say? It would be ridiculous for you to say, hate this, like this, no good, good, bad. There would be no I. Therefore, it wouldn't make sense when you say things like this. this means you would automatically stop saying these things. And you would automatically turn within. If the I disappeared, you would turn within to the self. There would be no I to interfere. And then you would be in your right place. You're always in your right place, but what I mean is you will be in a realization place, a liberation place, no place, emptiness, nirvana. Nirvana is God. Effortless, choiceless, pure awareness is God. Yet where is this God? What is this God? This God is a substratum of all existence. And what we call God is the absolute reality, which is perfection. So how can there be sickness and strife and lack and limitation when the substratum of all existence is what we call God, the absolute reality? In truth, those things do not exist. That's why I'm telling you that sickness, lack, limitation, man is humanity to man, does not even exist. It is the I that believes it exists. Don't you see? It is the I that you've been believing in all of these years. That believes it sees a sick person, or has a sick body, or a body that's lacking something, or a world that's in pain. It is the I that makes you feel this. I cannot emphasize this often enough. If you had no I, you'd be free and happy all the time. After all, what is happiness? Happiness is when you're free from pain, from distress, from disease, from lack, from limitation, from all these people that make you unhappy. But it's only the I that identifies with these things. Try to get this picture. If there were no I, there would be no identification with these things. So it wouldn't happen to you. When I say it wouldn't happen to you, I do not mean you'd be free from all of these things. These things would appear to be happening in the world and to your body just like we are now. Do not think when you become self-realized that you will see a different world. There is no different world. The world will be just like it is. Your body will be just like it is. But to you, the liberated one, will not see this or feel this or go through anything. This is something you have to think about. What I am saying, if you are liberated and you see a sick person dying, who just got hit by a car, the sick person is dying, you will see this, but you will not see this. You will see it in one instance, and you will not see it in another instance. This is sort of difficult to comprehend. How can I see it and yet not see it? We go back to the illustration of the chalkboard. The chalkboard is covered with all kinds of figures, images, people dying, people laughing, babies being born, traveling in airplanes. All of these images are on the chalkboard. But the chalkboard is totally free and undisturbed. Nothing is happening to this chalkboard. Then you erase the figures and you put new figures on the chalkboard. Yet nothing is happening to the chalkboard. The images are merely superimpositions on the chalkboard. And so it is with us. When we become liberated, the game of life, as it appears to you right now, takes place on your consciousness. Yet you are pure consciousness itself. So you know the things are there, but at the same time you do not know the things are there. Confusing, isn't it? We can never understand the infinite with our finite mind. For we're programmed to see things a certain way, to believe things a certain way. And we're going out of our dimension when we try to think this way. But yet this type of thinking will come to you by itself. We can observe a dying person and see only eternal life. When you can look at yourself, you may be dying from a disease. But who is the you that's dying? Who is the person dying? That person has disappeared. That person has become the self, the imperishable self. You will not have to think about this. You will not even think about dying or living or any of the things I'm talking about. I am using words right now to try to convey to you a message which is virtually impossible to comprehend and to convey. That you are eternal life. You are never born, you can never die. And you never prevail in between. There is no you as you appear. You do not exist. You never existed. You are a non-entity. A good for nothing. Yet something in you is fighting this. There's something in you that's saying, this is impossible. I feel hurt. I feel depressed. I feel this way and I feel that way. Sometimes I feel happy, sometimes I feel wonderful. You see what you're doing right now? You're going back to the I, aren't you? Don't you see the problem? Can't you see what you're doing? You're going back to the I. After all is said and done, you're going back to the I. You're saying, I don't feel the truth. I do not feel what Robert is saying because it sounds so impossible. You didn't say that, I did. Not I, Robert, but I I. You see? You are totally free. If you only get rid of the goddamn I. The guy's been giving you all these troubles, he won't believe this. He keeps saying, I. How long will you go on this way? The time has to come in your life when you begin to understand that I has never existed and I will never exist. This is the reason we practice Atma Vichara, self-inquiry. This is the only reason we practice this. Because the more you practice this, the more you will not get caught up in the I. Now you know that the only thing you have to do is to remove the I from your life. And you'll be totally liberated. Try tomorrow not saying I for the whole day. See if you can do this. Most of you will not be able to have a conversation. You'll have absolutely nothing to say. And that will be wonderful. It will be the best thing you've ever done, to shut up. We've been talking all of your life, and where has it gotten you? Since you were born, you've been talking. And where has it gotten you? This is why you hear about some sages who are totally silent and never say a word. For the voice has been given to the eye. It is the eye who talks. It is the eye who has a chip on his shoulder and always has something to say. The voice box is connected to the eye. But if you practice not saying I, removing the I, you will have very little to say. And everything will take care of itself. This is why self-inquiry works so wonderfully. And why we should all practice it. The best time to practice this is when the eye overwhelms you. When you start saying all kinds of things to yourself. I feel rotten today. I feel bad. I feel this. I feel that. Catch yourself and inquire, who am I? That's what you must do. What you're really asking is, where does I come from? Who am I? Who am I? Never answer that question, for it will be your ego answering. The ego, the I, and the mind is synonymous. They're all the same. If there's no I, there'll be no mind, no ego. So the practice is to remove the I, to eliminate the I. At the same time, we're killing the ego and the mind. So every time the eye shows its head, you inquire, who am I? Where did you come from, I? What gave you birth? From where did you originate? You have to talk to yourself this way, but not out loud. Somebody hears you, will be sent to the funny farm. Keep it to yourself. But do it. Who am I? The mind will start thinking again. Thoughts will come. What am I doing this for? I must be crazy. You're back to I again. If you can only catch yourself, this will be a great start and will take you further. Catch yourself when you say I. Keep catching yourself always. Who am I? Who is this I? That's all you have to do. And search for the I, the source of the I. And you search for this source by inquiring, who am I? That's how you search for the source of I. When the source reveals itself to you, there will be total liberation. For the I will be gone. And so to be liberated, you simply have to get rid of the I. But the good news about this thing is, as you practice this, it has positive results in your life, in your personal life. As I mentioned earlier, you will find that you're becoming more peaceful. The things that used to disturb you will stop disturbing you. You will develop greater power within yourself. You will feel happy and good. This is a side effect of practicing self-inquiry. The mind is so powerful in some of us, it will make us practice for a half hour, for 10 minutes, or for 5 minutes, and then we'll stop, and we'll go back to being I again. You have to catch yourself continuously, continuously. Whenever you use that word I, remember to remember. I doesn't exist. I is my only problem. Then who am I? What is its source? As you practice this, you'll be amazed at what happens to you. But this is your choice. This is your freedom. This is what you have to do for yourself. Most of you have been through the ropes. You've been through life's experiences. And coming to the end, why do you waste your time with the world? When I talk like this, I'm not referring to giving up this world physically. What I mean is, why do you react this way to this world? Why do you keep reacting with fear and animosity? And the rest of the things most of us go on with. Save yourself from coming back again and again in different bodies. Save yourself totally, completely. Inquire, who am I? To whom do these thoughts come? Who thinks? What is the source of my I? If you do this, I can assure you, you will become absolutely, totally free. Let's do this together now. Close your eyes. And observe your thoughts. Do not try to change your thoughts. Observe your thoughts. As thoughts come to you, ask yourself, who am I? And you keep thinking about this and about that. Something tells you I'm hungry. I'm thirsty, I'm this, I'm that. I have to go to work tomorrow. Ask yourself, who am I? And remember what you're saying. What is the source of the I? That time again to play Stump the Guru. So if you pass the stumpers. We always have a question box on Sunday.
Do I have a fear of being God?
Why do you ask me? Ask yourself. If you have fear, you'll have a fear of everything. Who is God? Is God separate from you? Where does God live? First find out who God is, then ask the question if you would be afraid of believe that you're God. If you were God, you would be eternally happy, have peace and love in you always, and you wouldn't ask that question. Your real nature is God. You are God already, but you don't know it. You think you're human and you have to ask questions like this. But your real nature is really God, right now, right this minute. The reason I think you're asking this question is because of your upbringing. You still believe an anthropomorphic deity, a god up in the sky who punishes, who throws lightning bolts. When you realize there's no such god, then you'll be happy and free. God is of your own imagination. It is your imagination that is God. See God as yourself. Feel God as yourself. By getting rid of the I. When there is no I, only God remains. What you call God will be itself. So do not separate yourself from God. There is only God as you. No matter what you may be experiencing, no matter what you may be expressing, you are still God, but not the way you're expressing or feeling. You are the God within, without words and thoughts, that transcends your body, your mind, your experiences. You are the God. Rejoice and be happy. Next case.
How critical is it to realize your true nature this lifetime?
It's not critical at all. Who cares? This is your ball game. If you don't care about it, why should I? Why should anybody else? It's critical to the extent that if you do not become self-realized, you will come back again and again and again, or go to some other planet or do something as an ego. Your ego, your mind, will survive. Until you realize there's no ego, there's no mind. But until then, your ego will be in control. So if you realize this, if you understand this, you will begin to practice sadhana. Now you will practice your spiritual disciplines and work on yourself and put this first in your life. Whatever you put first in your life, that's what you become. So if you put first in your life your spiritual practices, you will become this. Forget about time. Time doesn't really exist. It appears to exist. You appear to grow older in time. But there really is no time. Put all the energy you use in thinking about other things into your spiritual practices and see what happens. Next.
Robert, if you do not experience the I thought, who is answering this question?
Tell me who's answering the question. Who is answering the question? There is no question, there is no answer. There appears to be a question, there appears to be an answer. It's all ego work. It's all mind work. For as long as the I persists, there will always be a question, there will always be an answer. But when the I goes, there will be no question, no answer, but yet words will appear to be spoken. As I explained before, it's like living in two worlds. You are the one, yet you appear as many. So the person asking the question is your ego. And the person asking the question is also your ego. And there's only one that asks and answers. It appears as many, but there's only one. It's all going on within your dream. This is your dream. But you are the witness, the observer of the dream. In that dream, you're asking a question, and you hear an answer. But it's all part of your dream. Awaken and be free.
If everything is nothing, why the hell does it all look, smell, and feel so good? Why did the Absolute give us this imagination that is so hard to give up?
The Absolute never gave you anything. The Absolute remains absolute. It is you who feel these things. It is you who feel separate again. It is you who feel that you are immortal. The Absolute has nothing to do with it whatsoever. Find out who you are. Discover your true identity. Ask yourself, who gave me this body and these experiences? By inquiring, who am I? All these things will become clear to you. You are the Absolute. You are the Self. You have always been the Self. Everything else is like images on the screen. Go within. Dive deep within. Deeper than you've ever dove before. By inquiring, who am I? Who gave me this mind? Who gave me this body? Who gave me these thoughts? Who gave me these questions? And if you are sincere enough, you'll realize nobody. There's nobody home. And you are total consciousness. The Absolute. In other words, there's nothing going on here at all. There's no class like this happening. There's no body that appears to be your body. There's no experiences you've ever gone through. Nothing exists the way it appears. Again, ask yourself then, where did it come from? I don't want it. Where did it come from? So again, you say, I don't want it. It is the I that gives it to you. It's better to work on the I, removing the I, than to feel sorry for yourself or to feel something is wrong and obscure. Work on getting rid of the I, eliminate the I, and then see what you become. That's it, Robin.
Howard, when you feel a great joy, like when listening to music or when things are going well, I didn't know if that joy is from the mind or it's seeping in from the self.
Do not concern yourself with it. As long as you're doing your homework, enjoy the joy. Be happy in the joy. Rejoice in the joy. Do not ask yourself where it came from. The only question you ask about where it came from is the ego, the I. But as far as the joy is concerned, rejoice in it. Enjoy it. Again, if you're doing your homework, then the joy will be the right joy. It will come from the right place. The one who wants to analyze this and tear it apart is the ego. The ego wants to question, I wonder if this joy is real. All things are really bad and this is just a phony feeling. It is the ego that does all of this. But if you're feeling a semblance of joy, bask in it. Enjoy it. Love it. Never mind where it came from. Feel this joy is real. Feel it's really absolute reality. It is God. It is the real true joy. Enjoy it.
How can something that doesn't exist at all persist as though it did?
Well, look back in your dream. When you're having a dream at night, everything persists as if it's real. You go through all kinds of experiences in that dream. In that dream, you may be working on yourself, trying to become enlightened. And you're working and working, and all kinds of things stop you and wake you up and make all kinds of things happen to you.
I don't do all that in a dream. That's your dream, not mine.
Whatever you make a difference with your dream. You can dream anything. I said, imagine this. Dream anything you want in the dream, but it's still a dream. So this is the same thing. There appears to be a persistence.
It appears.
Of course it appears, but it doesn't really exist.
It hasn't a whit of reality to it. It's all nonsense.
It's all nonsense.
Put on.
Exactly.
A put on. A fake.
It's all false.
Yeah.
The whole thing is false.
Well, why doesn't it just disappear then?
It does. But you insist on seeing it.
You think I do?
Of course, well, wouldn't be. It wouldn't be if you weren't looking for it.
I just like to hang out with you.
You're doing that.
Yeah. You're a good guy.
You're a good guy too, I mean.
Thank you.
Where does this get us?
Nowhere. Gets us where we always were.
Exactly. All is well. We always go back to the examples of the sky is blue when there really is no sky and there's no blue. The water and the mirage, there's no water, but it appears to be so. The snake and the rope, where a rope appears to be a snake. And so is with this world. It appears to be. But nothing is going on. There is no world. It never happened. It appears to be so real to some of us. The day will come when you give up this world totally. And you'll be alive and well. We have a reading from the Shravakra Gita, a good Gita, a wonderful Gita. And that's any prasadam. We can't eat today. No food. Why'd we come here? Oh, well. Remember to love yourself, to worship yourself, to pray to yourself, to bow to yourself. For God dwells in you, as you. I love you. Om Shanti. Until we meet again, until we meet again. Wasn't it a song once until we meet again? Isn't that an old song? Until we meet again.
Just on that tape I gave you by Jim Reeves.
Oh. Okay, folks. This is it.
You've had it.